Hello, this is Sue Lloyd, Vice Chair of the IFSB, and I'm here today with our Chair, Emmanuel Faber, and this month we're in London after our first joint board meeting with our sister board, the IASB. So it's great to be starting off 2024, great to have the first board meeting of the year, and great also to be in London, very much the home of the IFRS Foundation. Last time we were in London with the IASB was back in May 2023, where we had much more informal get-to-know sessions, just chatting not about technical issues, but more broadly. So this was the first time we actually sat down and had a joint board meeting. But before we discuss our technical focus, Emmanuel, it's a new year, so perhaps you could set the scene for us all by telling us what the sort of top three priorities are for us in 2024.
Yeah, thank you, Sue, and happy new year to all of you who listen to us. As you have just said, Sue, it's great to be here in London, and thank you all on our sister board IASB for your collaboration this week. That was great and enjoyable. I really would encourage anyone in the audience to just have a look at the two great sessions that we had together. 24 will essentially build on the 2023 momentum with three, short, even though not simple, but short priorities. Firstly, supporting the implementation of S1 and S2. Secondly, working with jurisdictions on their adoption roadmaps. And thirdly, agreeing on our next two-year work plan, as we have already been making good progress in re-deliberation on this agenda. Some of the key activities that we're advancing now to achieve these three objectives would include the continuation of both the building and the rolling out of our capacity building program and wrapping up on the knowledge hub that is every day more populated with proprietary or non-proprietary important material to support the adoption and the use of our standards. Maintain and enhance the SASB standards. We've finalized the internationalization project in December. And I will simply say this year, we will continue to maintain them as we've already committed to. We are in the process of developing and soon finalizing our digital taxonomy. We will continue to support interoperability with jurisdictional and voluntary initiatives. We see this as very much embedded in our mission, as well as, I should say, especially after the two board sessions that we have, obviously continue to enable the connection of our work with the financial statements. Finally, just to say that we start understanding feedback through the Transition Implementation Group, which is an important add-on to our ability to kick off on the standard. And we will continue to develop educational materials as we have in the past. And on that particular aspect, Sue, we published recently a new educational material. Maybe you could comment on this.
Sure. So we've just finished some material, a GRI mapping tool, which is a new resource that we prepared along with GRI, which describes how you might go about emission reporting if you were using the GRI standards and also the ISSB standards. So it really is designed to help companies understand where we have common disclosure requirements on emissions and which areas of disclosures they should be aware of, where there are particular choices that you might make to enhance interoperability when you're considering how best to approach measuring and disclosing Scope 1, 2 and 3 greenhouse gas emissions using GRI 305 and IFRS S2. Now the punchline on all of this is it's good news. It demonstrates that there's indeed a high degree of alignment, and it also shows us that those who are already disclosing GHG emissions information using the GRI standards are really well positioned to report information about GHG emissions in accordance with our S2 climate standard. This is part of our ongoing broader work with GRI. Many of you will, I'm sure, remember that we've got an MOU in place with GRI, and so we're committed to helping our companies use both of our sets of standards well and efficiently together. So I hope companies that are using the ISSB standards and GRI will find this a good new resource. And with that, Emmanuel, maybe we could move on to the second priority for 2024, which is about advancing the adoption and the use of our new standards. What progress are we seeing there?
Yeah, sure, Sue. And I think Back in December last month, we were pleased to announce that Turkey at COP28 had announced their intent to adopt the ISSB standard. And now in January, this is the turn of Costa Rica that is the latest jurisdiction to announce their intent to adopt. They want to start with voluntary adoption this year and then moving to mandatory application for companies with public accountability from 2025 and extending to others in 2026. So this is not the first, but that's a continued interesting sequence of adoption. And I think it basically illustrates that there will be an increased need for us to provide guidance and support for all these jurisdictions that are announcing their journey on the use or adoption of our standards in a manner that's commensurate with their circumstances. And when we were asked to establish the ISSB by investors, companies, regulators, and policymakers, the task was very clear. We were asked to deliver globally consistent and comparable sustainability-related disclosures for capital markets. And this is really what we are currently working on with jurisdictions in interactions, but also in building a document that will support their journeys to adopt or otherwise use the ISSB standards internationally in a way that both takes into account jurisdictional local considerations, but also promotes this consistent and comparable global framework for a language in consistency with the IOSCO's endorsement and their call to action at that moment. The main objective for us through this process and document is to provide visibility and transparency on jurisdictional approaches so that all stakeholders can understand what approaches jurisdictions are taking to deliver global consistency and comparability, including how jurisdictions are progressing towards their intended adoption or other use of ISSB standard, which is also going to provide an opportunity for us to be more focused and commensurate on supporting their own journey, supporting them designing and planning their roadmap, supporting them in their policy decisions and consideration, providing guidance on licensing and translation, outlining our support to deliver capacity building. And by the way, on that point, the description of those trajectories will help bridging with the capacity building programs that we have designed with the multilateral development banks, for instance, that will be informed by the level of efforts needed by jurisdiction to accomplish their journey. So we are really excited by the significant interest by jurisdictions around the world. We are grateful to IOSCO for their ongoing leadership in this regard, which I think would take us to our third priority issue, which is agreeing our next two-year work plan. There's a lot of excitement and questions around this. A primary focus of our board weeks that are both now and later. Could you two give us a bit more color on this?
Sure. The excitement around our work plan, what a concept. So yes, that's sort of the day job, if you like. So what are we going to do on the standard setting front? And if we cast our minds back, you might remember that last year we issued a request for information on our agenda consultation. And since November, we've been discussing that really rich feedback that we received from all our stakeholders. As we shared on previous podcasts, a lot of what we heard really strongly in the feedback, firstly, was that there is a real interest in us dedicating a lot of time and energy to supporting the implementation of S1 and S2. But in addition to that, we heard broad support for the possible projects that we had identified, and we've been discussing that as well. So last month, we did a deep dive into what investors had to say in their feedback. And this week, it's been all about discussing the feedback we received on the fourth potential project, a project on integration and reporting, and also feedback that we received about connectivity between the work of our board and of the IASB. Which is interesting because we didn't actually ask a specific question on this, but people felt it was important enough to comment, which was interesting feedback in itself. Now, given the nature of the feedback, this was really our first great opportunity to have a joint board meeting because both the IASB and the ISSB have got an interest in what we heard on this integration and reporting project. Us for our work plan and the IASB are to make their future decisions on their management commentary project. So what would I say about the joint meeting? I think first I'd say that it was a positive meeting, a wide-ranging discussion, but it wasn't a decision-making meeting. It was for us both to make sure we really understood and could discuss the feedback that we heard. One really important thing we heard and that we emphasised ourselves is that connectivity, so this idea that we make sure that our standards work well together, that we make sure that we have good communication between the boards to result in a product and reporting that works well together, is really, really important to us. And regardless of whether we do a project on integration and reporting or not, we do focus on connectivity as business as usual. We work closely with the IASB to enable holistic, comprehensive and coherent general purpose financial reports to be prepared. We also will continue to encourage companies to use our integrated reporting framework, which is a piece of intellectual property that we have at the foundation as a result of our consolidation with the Value Reporting Foundation. And we have said in the past, and we continue to believe, that this is a really useful tool already used by thousands of companies around the world to communicate to investors, and we continue to encourage the use of the integrated reporting framework. What we talked about at the joint meeting was whether we should do further work on integration and reporting, and I'm not going to talk about that now. I'm going to have a little ad break here and encourage you to listen to the special joint podcast that I've done with my fellow vice chair on the IASB, Linda Maison-Hutter, where we'll reflect on the feedback we received and the discussion that the two boards had together. So if I look forward from here, what are we going to do? Now we've been through the feedback in full on the agenda consultation. We're ready to start to continue to reflect on the feedback we've received. And beginning next month, we're going to start to discuss and make decisions about the work plan. And the first thing we'll focus on will be confirming and discussing the criteria we're going to use to assess which new projects should be added to the work plan. So we are still planning to finalise all of the decisions relating to the work plan, including our strategy and new research projects, by the end of the first half of 2024. So the decision at the end of this process will be on whether to do our research projects rather than which standards we plan to develop. There's always that first step. And the research project will enable us to gather further evidence about what financial reporting problem or disclosure gap are we trying to address, and to assess whether there's a feasible approach that can be found before we start a formal standard setting project. And through those research projects, we'll look at key aspects such as how to approach the project, whether to take issues thematically, how we might approach industry specific disclosures, for example. So lots of more work to do there. So I think that covers our priorities. Lots to do in 2024. We're not going to be bored, Emmanuel, that's for sure. And as usual, we've been out and about talking to our stakeholders. And in particular, Emmanuel, you were recently at Davos. So maybe we could talk a little bit about that.
Sure, Sue. Thank you. And no doubt that there is a great work plan ahead of us. And we'll be happy to report back on that. Davos was an interesting moment after COP28 and very much, I think, a segue to COP28, which for many landed it to an unexpected and positive place. And suddenly for us at COP28, the building of the fact that both climate but also nature transition risks are going to be more and more prominent in a number of industries. And I think a lot of those reflections were around in the Davos moment. It was also an interesting segue because we were supported by literally 10,000 companies through their membership associations and more than 100 trillion worth of asset managers and owners through their own membership associations as well at COP28 to commit to advance the establishment of our global baseline on climate in particular. And it was interesting to unpack some of those conversations in Davos on a much more granular way with smaller groups of CEOs, leaders on a multilateral or jurisdictional front. And once again, I think what could be felt was that The WEF Global Risks report demonstrated that extreme weather events pose severe risks, as do other sustainability-related issues such as biodiversity and nature, not only in the long term, but also in the much shorter term. And that was, I think, a prominent part of conversations. I would also say, and I would like to echo here, that WEF has been a long-term supporter of our work. They've been working with us to establish ISSB even before it existed, and certainly before I joined, through our technical reference working group, and that drafted the initial wordings of the ISSB standards that were exposed. We were able to have a very interesting panel on how capital markets are introducing mandatory sustainability-related disclosure requirements. And in a nutshell, I'd say, you know, my own takeaway would be what the Financial Times, you know, chose to reflect on the World Economic Forum meeting this year, stating that the third biggest takeaway was what we mentioned and what we discussed as being the regulatory tipping point for introducing sustainability standards, and the role, crucial role, that the ISSB standards have in delivering alignment, facing that risks of fragmentation in the regulatory framework. So overall, very constructive dialogues in Davos, I think continued gathering momentum from both individual organizations and the global multilateral development and multilateral overall climate and sustainability crowd here. So it was a great way to start 2024. And as I was, mentioning some systemic approaches and discussions there, so I think it would be good that you update us also on the fact that this is the first year, 24, where we are going to be asked to report on progress made on climate-related disclosures for on behalf of the Financial Stability Board in particular. Could you explain us a little bit how we are going to go about it?
Sure. So listeners might remember that back in July last year, the Task Force for Climate-Related Financial Disclosures was officially disbanded, reflecting the fact that our ISSB standards now fully incorporate the TCFD recommendations. And as a consequence of that disbanding, the Financial Stability Board asked the IFRS Foundation to take over the responsibility for monitoring the development of climate reporting for companies, by companies, asset managers and asset owners. And so this gives us a great opportunity, I think, both to look at the sort of state of climate reporting consistent with the TCFD recommendations, but also to see the transition from that state of the market, if you like, towards the use of the ISSB standards. And I think one thing that often people ask when we talk about the fact that the TCFD has been disbanded and the work has been inherited by the ISSB standards, people often ask, you know, what does that mean for the TCFD recommendations? And I think it's just a good point to remind people that they still exist. And so companies can still use the TCFD recommendations, although, of course, companies that use the ISSB standards will sort of automatically fully comply with the TCFD recommendations. But the TCFD recommendations are still a great first step towards adoption of our standards as well. So with that, Emmanuel, maybe it's worth just touching briefly on what the new next few weeks have got in store for our work.
Well, many things, obviously, Sue, but two things I think I would highlight. First, we will receive advice from the Integrated Reporting and Connectivity Council on the feedback that we receive in the consultation around both integration in reporting and connectivity, which is sort of in the natural segue of the board's discussion this week as we continue the deliberation around these topics. And the other thing I'd say is that, as I mentioned, SASB standards are really super important for us. And the team are also working on a great new webcast about the value of industry-specific disclosures, including what the ISSB standards say about industry-specific disclosures. We're quite specific about that. why and how investors find this information useful, and how companies are also providing industry-specific information, and how we can do that in a cost-effective manner. So stay tuned to this webcast that's coming in the next few weeks. Another, of course, important aspect for us next month is that we will be in New York. What's it all about, Sue?
Yes, so we will. So from London Board Week to New York Board Week in February, so that will be good. And also really looking forward to our IFRS Sustainability Symposium in New York. And that's really looking like an interesting jam-packed agenda. We've got great speakers lined up to talk about why and how they're preparing to use the ISSB standards. I think it's a really great opportunity to hear from board members, see staff, and talk to us on the sides, and as well as hear us speak in a more formal sense, but also not just from us, to hear from corporates, regulators, and investors on their plans and real practical insights into approaching the use of our standards. So we look forward to seeing hopefully many of you and to share reflections on the symposium in person, online, and to be talking about that in next month's podcast, which we'll record when we're in New York. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Sue.